Heavenly Father, thank you that you seek and save the lost, that at great cost you work to restore all things, including us. Father, please open my lips to speak your word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and please open our hearts and our ears to your word through the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we may understand and rejoice in your purposes for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, some of you have been here for the past 5 weeks, and you would know that I'm doing a sermon series on mission. And today, I'm talking about something that is sometimes controversial in the church, and that is finances, money. It's a challenging topic to talk about, but I've actually called my sermon Getting to the Heart of Mission. Now, what might money have to do with the heart? We'll get into that. But for those of you who've been here, you know that what I'm using as a parable or as an illustration of mission is my project of restoring a classic Mini. That's the shell of the Mini sitting in my garage. Yvette will be rejoicing when my Mini is finished, because there won't be quite so much mess in the garage and we can reclaim some of that space. But God works to restore all things, including us. He wants to make things the way they were meant to be. In fact, even better than the way they were meant to be, he wants to make them schmick and beautiful. And so his restoration of us and his restoration of the world is a parable or a paradigm for mission. Last week, you may not have been here, but Pastor Brett Kennett asked me, Nathan, with all the challenges that restoring your Mini has brought to you, do you ever get a bit tired? And I realized that I should have had this picture and said these words to him at that point. I should have said, yes, I do find some parts exhausting. But anyway, enough of the dad jokes. Yeah, I only thought of it like mid-Sunday afternoon. It was really annoying. Anyway, I thought I'd share that with you. So, Gary, I'm one up on you for the bad jokes this sermon. Today, though, I want to introduce you to a little-known part of my Mini. This, I wonder if anyone can guess what this might be. I reckon Vince might be able to. Sylvia and Yvette are not allowed to because they already know the answer. Any guesses as to what this might be? Solenoid carby. Stephen? Carby? This is a mechanical fuel pump. If the Mini was a body, this little thing would be the closest thing that the Mini has to a heart. Okay? The little lever goes up and down and it pumps a diaphragm, and the diaphragm pulls fuel from the fuel tank to the carby and then to the engine. It's the closest thing on a car, or a car of my vintage, to the heart of the car. Because for human beings and for animals, of course, the heart is the part of the body that pumps the life-giving fluid to where it needs to be. A while back, as I was driving my Mini before I restored it, the heart of the car failed. The fuel pump was not pumping fuel. You don't have to guess too hard to work out what happened. What happened with my Mini? It stopped. It wouldn't go. It wouldn't move. So today I want to get us closer to the heart of mission. And really, I've got 5 simple points and some practicalities about that. And if you don't remember anything else, simply remember these 5 points. Mission is costly, but God's heart is generous. These are all on your sermon outline, by the way. Our heart follows our treasure. Generous giving connects our heart with God's heart in mission. And finally, some practicalities for our church and for us as individuals. First of all, mission is costly. If we think about God's mission of restoring the whole world, of forgiving us and drawing us back to Him as his people, it cost him the most precious thing that he had. For God the Father, and you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God's restoration and his mission, for God the Father, it cost him the very life of his Son. Mission is costly. As I have gone about restoring my Mini, it has cost me thousands of dollars, and I hope that the expenses are over soon. But it's always, Vince, doing up a car is always going to be more expensive than you think, isn't it? Even when you factor in this rule, it's still going to be more expensive than what you think. God's mission of restoring the world is costly. For God the Son, if we can turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, we see what God's mission and his heart for restoring the world costs Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 are two of the best chapters in the whole Bible about Christian giving and generosity and its basis. So Paul is talking to the Corinthian church here, and he is encouraging them to share with God in God's generosity. Could someone read out aloud for us 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, please?
For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich.
How powerful is that? You know the grace, the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Jesus gave up all he had, which is incomprehensible to us in terms of wealth or power, his influence in the universe. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. We are the recipients of God's costly mission, which cost Jesus everything, his lifeblood, his very life, his relationship with his Father. Mission is costly. Mission is costly also for us as God's people, as we engage with what God is doing in the world. It costs taking us out of our comfort zone to share the good news with people who might not know it yet. It costs finances. It costs us using our gifts and abilities in order to serve God's mission. Mission is costly. But the heart of God is generous and gracious. God thinks the cost is worth it. When he looked at you and when he looked at this world that was so broken and so in need of restoration, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit agreed with one another that the cost would be worth it. And this is the essence and the heartbeat of mission, is that God is gracious. He is generous. He longs to share with us what is good. And of course, the best thing that he can share with us is relationship with himself, restored and forgiven through his Son, Jesus Christ. Third, our heart follows our treasure. Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 32 to 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. It's there on your page. I invite you to read that verse together with me. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Now, when we modern Western people hear that word heart, we immediately think of emotions, right? I love you with all my heart. I love you with all my feelings. We think that heart equals feelings. But biblically, over and over again, we find that the heart is not so much the center of emotions as the center of will and thought and intention. The heart is kind of the core or the center of a person's life, which defines a person's identity. The heart is who you really are, okay? It's also the center of relationship with God and the place from which our ethical and moral action come. So when Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be, what he is saying is what you value will decide how you think, how you intend and will, and how you act. Very little to do with feelings, although feelings obviously do come into it. Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. The things that we value as individuals and as a church will shape the way that we decide and the way that we act and the way that we move forward into the future. So how's your heart? How's your heart when it comes to treasure, including finances? Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. But fourth, generous giving, connecting with the grace of God in mission, connects us with God's gracious heart. The heart of God is to seek and save the lost, and we saw that in those beautiful parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. That's a picture of God the Father. He's constantly searching and seeking for us when we are lost, to bring us back to himself. And then, at the end of both of those parables, Jesus says, there is rejoicing in heaven when one sinner repents. When one lost person returns to God, there is rejoicing in heaven. God's heartbeat and the heartbeat of mission is that he is constantly seeking and saving the lost. And as we join God in his generosity and grace, our hearts are also changed. To invest what we have been given, including in a material sense with finances, in order to seek and save the lost and join the mission of God, leads us into the heart of God and fills us with the joy of God. And I have consistently found as a pastor that preparing to preach on the issue of finances and money and Christian giving is hard work, but it consistently brings great joy to me. And the reason for that is because we cannot out-generous God. God is always far more generous with us than we can possibly be with others or with ourselves or back to him. And as we share in God's generosity, we share in his joy. God, you see, has an abundance paradigm. He doesn't have a scarcity paradigm. God does not look at a pie and go, if we divide that into more pieces, there will be less pie per piece. Does that make sense? No. God's paradigm is that the more we divide the pie, the bigger each piece will grow. And I'm not talking wealth and prosperity doctrine here. I'm saying that God has far more to give than we can possibly even imagine, and that God's abundance can overflow in joy and generosity for us. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, and this is really important, so let's turn to that that passage. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, that would be in on page 1163. Can someone read out verse 7 nice and loud? Keith.
You should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
The word behind that word cheerful in the Greek is hilaros. God loves a hilarious giver. God loves someone who gets the joke that we can never give more to God than what he gives to us. And it says each person should give what they have decided in their heart to give. Now, again, that's not about feelings. It's not about, oh, I think I feel like I'll give this much today. It's about intention and decision and careful planning and gracious action. And how sad that this verse, which says, specifically says, no one should give reluctantly or under compulsion, has often been used to compel people to give. I've got a tool for you on the back page of your sermon handout, which is a tool to help you to decide in your heart how to give to God in terms of your finances. God loves a hilarious giver. When you learn that you can trust God with your finances, with your treasure, you go through a change of heart that is almost as profound as conversion itself in terms of learning to trust Jesus for your forgiveness. Martin Luther said, there are three conversions that are needed: the head, the heart, and the wallet. Isn't that a great quote? And when we learn that God is faithful, and as we join him in his generosity, that we get to share in his joy, there's this amazing transformation that begins to happen in our own heart. And this happens for both individuals and congregations. When we as a congregation learn to share in God's generosity and give outside of ourselves, we really come alive. Remember how Jesus said, whoever tries to save their own life will lose it, but whoever gives their life away for me and for the gospel will find it. That's true for us as individuals, but it's also true for us as a church. So generous giving connects us with God's gracious heart in mission. So I'm going to run through this pretty quickly, but I'm going to share with you some practicalities for what that might mean for our church. What does it cost to run a local church? Let's say this one. A financially sustainable local church in the Lutheran Church of Australia with a single pastor costs about $100,000 a year to run. Now, you might be thinking, wow, Pastor Nathan's on a pretty good wicket. I can assure you that not all of that money ends up in my bank account, and I'll show you the breakdown pretty soon. But this diagram kind of shows where some of those funds are coming from in our local situation at the moment. I work 0.2 for the college here as college pastor. So the college provides about 20% of the cost of my salary. I work 0.1 for something called the Committee for New and Renewing Churches. I mentor church plants, and the LCA, the national body, pays for that work. So that's about 10%. Our local giving at the moment, our offerings in terms of cash offerings at services and also our electronic giving, comes to around about $20,000 at the moment. This diagram is not intended to be 100% accurate, but it's also not intended to deceive. This is kind of realistic ballpark figures, and the full figures are available on request. And then our state-level church, the district, actually underwrites this church plant. So if there's if we don't reach 100% with the school, CNRC and local giving, our brothers and sisters in Christ in Victoria support us, and they do so very generously at the moment, and that's about the proportion there. So what if our local giving goes up? Well, first of all, my salary, got to say this, my salary is not based on how much this local church gives. In fact, every pastor in Lutheran Church of Australia gets the same salary. It doesn't matter about the size of the church or the generosity of the giving or anything like that, with rare exceptions like what you talked about with France in Western Australia, where situations are slightly different. So as I encourage us as a church to give and to engage in God's generosity, please know that it's not going to result in my pay packet rising. Okay. I think it's just important to be honest and upfront about that. But if our giving goes up, this is a breakdown. This is about pastor's salary and superannuation and all that stuff. This is rent on the manse, the house that the church provides for the pastor, which is also part of the employment conditions for a pastor of the LCA. This is mission. This is giving outside of the congregation to something that is not going to benefit us in any tangible way. Giving our life away, if you want to put it that way. And several years ago, our congregation made the decision that we would give away 10% of our local offerings to international mission and to local mission. I'm saddened to say that I don't think that we've actually been following through on that at the moment. But if our giving goes up, our proportion that we give away outside of ourselves to mission, local and global, can also increase. So that would be a great vision for our church as we think about finances, as we think about our own giving. Interestingly, God's economy is very different from the economy that we know. Let me share a couple of stories with you of church groups that have decided to enter more intentionally into the generosity of God. Because they're cool. And God is cool like that. So in my first parish, which was in Nambour on the Sunshine Coast, I still miss the winter weather. 6 months of 22 degrees and sunshine. It was hard. But at Nambour, for many years, before I had got there, the congregation had a $12,000 hole in its budget. And interestingly, that $12,000 hole exactly coincided with the commitment that the congregation had made to the district, the state-level church. And so for a number of years, the congregation had not paid their commitment to the district for mission and for training and for other support purposes. And I did a sermon very similar to this, and my treasurer at the time, she came to me, Edna was her name, wonderful lady, and she said, "Pastor Nathan, your sermon has really convicted me. From now on, I'm just going to press send on $1,000 a month to the district, the Queensland district. I'm just going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to survive because we've always had this budget shortfall." Never again did we have a budget shortfall. How does that work? I don't know. I reckon that God's people get inspired and go, "Hey, if the church is going to meet that commitment, then we'll increase our generosity as well." But never again did we have a budget shortfall. Isn't that amazing? A second short story was with the community of young adults and tertiary students that I served as a pastor before I came here to Pakenham. And we said in that community, we will give away, if we get over our budget in terms of our local offerings, and it was about $20,000, with a community of uni students and young workers that was only 30 people at worship on a Sunday, so about the same size as us. We said, if we get over our budget, we'll give away 50% of our surplus to global mission. We taught the young people how to give what they have decided in their hearts using the tool I'll show you in a minute. The next year, our local offerings were $50,000. We were $30,000 oversubscribed with a bunch of young professionals and uni students. It was phenomenal. And we could joyfully give away much more than we thought we could have. So those are just some pictures of how strangely and wonderfully God's economy can work. So what about us as Christians? Some practicalities for individuals. And I invite you to have a look at your sermon outline here. I'm going to go really quickly through these. I could spend ages on each point, but I won't, okay? So if you want to look up these Bible verses later, please check that I'm not preaching falsely, right? Make sure that what I say is actually in accordance with the Word of God. Personal Christian giving connects us with the heart of mission and the heart of God. First of all, it is prayerful. This is an act of worship. What we do with our finances is a significant part of the way that we worship God with our daily life. And it's really important to pray about it. Okay, so it's prayerful. It's responsive to God's generous grace. It's involving our will and our intention. Secondly, our Christian giving in response to God's grace, and I'm going to use the word, and I hate using this word in sermons, but it should be a priority. What we decide to give to God should actually be our first priority in our budget. It's the principle of first fruits, that God has given everything to us, so as his people, we give the first part back to him, and we find that all the way through the Old and New Testaments. All we have belongs to God. It comes as a gift from God and is given by God for us to steward for his glory. Thirdly, Christian giving is proportional. What that means is that it's not a dollar amount. It's a percentage of your income. That means if your income is zero, your giving is zero. If your income is larger, then you will work out what the proportion should be. And I will just look very quickly at 2 Corinthians 16, 1-2. I'll just turn to that. Paul writes to the Corinthian church. Sorry, it's 1 Corinthians. Typo. Paul says, "Now, about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income." And then Paul instructs them to save it up, okay? So, proportional. There is a great diversity of incomes within our church. I know that some people are doing it tough in terms of finances, and some people are actually on reasonably good salaries. Remember that God loves a cheerful giver, not a big giver. I'll say that again. Remember that God loves a cheerful giver, not a big giver. Okay? If you think of the widow in the temple that Jesus praised because she gave such a proportion, I believe that she was giving cheerfully. God looks at the willingness of your heart, not the size of your gift. Okay? Pastor Brett Kennett says, "For some of us, 10% will be far too much. For others, 10% will be far too little." And another pastor said, and I love this one, you've got to go away and think about this. If you're not giving cheerfully, you are either giving too much or too little. If you're not giving cheerfully, you're either giving too much or too little. And I invite you to go away and think about that one. And Christian giving is joyful. It's liberating because we are set free from the bonds that our culture places on us that say money is everything. It controls you. It dominates your life. Actually, no. God is the one who gives all that we need, and he wants to invite us into his joy. Now, I am going to invite you to put this into practice in the coming 2 weeks. And if you turn to the last page here, what you'll find is something called a secret proportional giving pledge. And I just want to run through this with you for 2 minutes. I invite you to complete the Bible study or read through all of the verses in the sermon outline, and then to prayerfully fill in this slip. Now, it's a tool so that each person can give what they have decided in their heart to give. But here's the thing, it's secret. What I'm asking you to do is to fill it in prayerfully in the next 2 weeks, place it in a sealed envelope with your address on the front, and then put it in the offering basket in a couple of weeks' time, it will not be opened. This is not a tool that can be used to coerce anyone to give. This is a way of helping you decide in your heart, between you and the Holy Spirit, how much you want to give. So then the envelopes will be posted back to you, and you can open them and go, okay, I know that I prayed about this. Now I want to put it into practice. Does that make sense? It's secret. It's between you and God. There's no coercion. It's about praying about what could be a joyful and cheerful proportion of your income to give to God's work. And it's pretty simple and straightforward. It encourages you to give to God's mission through the church, which includes through specific Christian mission projects. So I'm not saying it's all coming to this congregation. And it also encourages you to give to God's poor through charity. And that's another part of things which I really haven't kind of unfolded today. But I leave that with you, with the prayer that as you decide in your heart what to give, that God will take you into the heart of mission, His generous and giving grace.